I will work day in and day out. Wake up and smell the coffee.
The independence case is a powerful one.
Another future's possible, but we've got to fight for it.
Order!
Hello and welcome to the Debated Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Will. And in this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Primrish Patel, the Labour Party's parliamentary candidate for Harrow East for the next general election. Welcome to the podcast, Primrish.
Thank you, Will. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's fantastic to have you here. I'm really delighted that you agreed to do the podcast. The first question that I'd like to ask is, could you explain to the listeners what made you want to put yourself forward as Labour's candidate for the next election for Harrow East?
Yes, of course. Well, so there are a number of reasons, but the most obvious one for me was that Harrow, and particularly Harrow East, is my home. It's where I live. It's where I've lived for over a decade. I'm very passionate about my home. It's where I live, shop, socialise, and it's where I have given a lot of public service in the past as well. I was a councillor here for many years in the past and have been involved in local schools, local activities with the Labour Party. I've canvassed the roads of Harrow more times than I care to remember. So, to the honour of representing my home was a very important reason for me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I thought long and hard about how it balances with other things, personal life, work life, and I felt this was the right time for me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a good place, both mentally and physically, to do this. Thirdly, I'm very passionate about our party, the Labour Party, and what we can do in government. I want to play my part in as fullest way as I could and take us forward here in Harrow. And Harrow East is a very important seat. It serves as somewhat the bellwether in the general elections. So to win in Harrow East could in effect mean a Labour government at the next general election. So very much wanting to do as much as I could to fight for Labour here in Harrow. And I felt I was best placed to do that as the candidate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, do you feel that having canvassed so much in Harrow and been a councillor, that this gives you a really great insight into what people are concerned about on the doorstep, what people want to happen in terms of local services and things that they want to see improved, and also sort of an insight into how best you can potentially win people over who might not have voted Labour in the past few elections and might be thinking about switching their vote to Labour at the next election?
Yes, I think having that connection and understanding the concerns both locally and nationally that my neighbours here in Harrow have has proven crucial. It proved crucial during the selection campaign and it will prove crucial, I think, going forward as we fight the next general election. Harrow is a very unique place in its demographics. And I'm sure many people are aware of that who listen to this podcast. It's a wonderful place, an absolutely wonderful place. I love it a bit. And from all the conversations I've had over the decade on the doorsteps here in Harrow, many of the concerns are the same as others in the country, of course, naturally. The cost of living crisis, the rising mortgage cost, the list is endless. But Harrow is also a place where those local connections are important as we have conversations on the doorstep in our temples, mosques, synagogues and churches. So to me, being able to have those discussions over the last decade has given me real insight into how best to take forward the argument that Labour is the party that those who should vote for, should return to, and is best placed to serve their interest after the next general election in government.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course, you have worked in the health service, and one of your priorities is ensuring that there's enough access for local residents to GP surgeries, being able to go into walk-in centres, access to the Royal Orthopaedic Hospital in Stanmore. How much of your own personal experiences working in the health service do you think have formed your belief as to how important it is to ensure that the health service in Harrow is of the best possible quality for residents.
As you've mentioned, I've worked in health and social care in various roles and guises for 18 years, and I currently work for a national regulator, and I'm very passionate about this area. And for me, you know, the NHS is one of the Labour Party's greatest achievements, if not the greatest. And free healthcare at the point of use is so important, particularly to those who don't have the means to pay at all. Mm. And I will do everything in my power to protect the NHS, and also allied to that is social care. We often forget about that. What's often seen as a poorer relation in this relationship. Health and social care are very closely connected. And in Harrow, we have a population that is aging, like a lot in the country, and a population that has specific health needs, particularly in relation to diabetes, to heart disease, because of our demographic makeup. So protecting access to health and social care services here in Harrow is certainly very important. We shared our hospital, it's just over the border in Brent, but the residents here in Harrow will use that as their main hospital should they ever need hospital care. So ensuring that hospital is of good standard, is of excellent standard, that it does provide what local residents need is very important to me. Social care is devolved to local authorities, and I'm very determined that our council will do everything in its power to protect social care services. We'll ensure that our social workers here in Harrow aren't overworked and can provide a good service to our residents. That will be difficult. Government cuts have decimated local authorities, and Harrow is no different. But certainly for me, health and social care is a big priority, and I want to see these services protected in Harrow and throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know as well it's something that's very important to you, being a member of the trade union movement, being a trade union member. Do you think that it's important, given that workers' rights, both in the NHS and in general, are as protected as possible, and that working conditions are improved, particularly given the really poor economic circumstances that we're seeing across the UK at the moment, and with inflation continuing to rise and not being in any position to fall, despite what the government wants it to?
Trade unions playing a central role in our society, and I really do believe that. I've been a shop steward for 15 years, and I've been my branch chair of a very large branch of unison for over a decade. And in those roles, I've always fought hard for my fellow members in protecting our working rights, pay and conditions. And when we look at some of the rights we already enjoy, whether that's annual leave, maternity leave, these things came through hard work, often through the trade union movement and working people banding together to fight for their rights. So to me, you know, protecting working rights, workers' rights, protecting the rights of working people is absolutely essential. Mm. And particularly in the current economic crisis, climate, where we have a situation where many people are struggling, you know, rents continue to increase, mortgages continue to increase, and we've just seen the figures around inflation and today's interest rate announcement. And these things hurt, and they hurt people where they matter in their wallets. But crucially, the people who are living on the breadline or the pay packet by pay packet, as my family did growing up, these small pennies make every difference to whether you can eat or whether you can heat your home. Ooh. And being one of the wealthiest countries in the world, we should not be in this situation. So yes, protecting workers' rights is so important.
Mm, absolutely. And obviously alongside the economic problems that are directly affecting people in terms of individual prices and their jobs and pay, the economic circumstances that we're in at the moment are also affecting the high street and businesses. And I know that one of the aims, one of your prime aims, is to help regenerate the high streets in Harrow East and try and encourage more businesses and to try and help the high streets become a bit more vibrant and get more money going into the local economy. How do you think that you would be able to advocate and achieve that if you were to become the MP for Harrow East? And how much of the local high street and getting local businesses into Harrow is a matter of simply being an active face and saying, you know, to businesses and others who might be interested in investing in the area, I'm the Member of Parliament, I would like to, you know, talk to you, advocate on behalf of Harrow and promote it in a way that makes those businesses think we do want to go to Harrow and we do want to invest in the local economy and the high street?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And actually only recently, a couple of days ago, we had the sad news that Iceland in Harrow Town Centre was closing down and moving. And we've had that a lot. You know, at a lot of places we lost our Debenhams, which was our anchor store in Harrow. And Harrow is very lucky. We've got a number of different high streets dotted around the borough and a number in Harrow East. But they have been declining. As I mentioned, particularly in the town centre. And what we want to do is certainly attract more businesses. And I think strongly, you know, with some incentives, we can do that. I think one of the ways to do that as well is to expand and increase our transport networks, our public transport networks here in Harrow, so that there is more easily accessible. In Harrow, many people will go shopping in Watford or Brighton Cross or into the city, because we have excellent transport links. So we want to encourage people to remain and shop in Harrow as much as we can. So, you know, it is a challenge. We are very much a small business, but we've got lots of wonderful small businesses, and a number of whom don't want exemptions to business rate payments, but we have a lot of very small businesses, your family-run businesses, which are very important in Harrow. And you know, I want to support them as well. You know, we talked about setting up business clubs, setting up breakfast clubs, so that we can encourage them and understand what it is they need to grow, to expand, to create jobs here at Harrow for Harrow people. So I think there are a number of things that we can do. What I want to see is Labour and government helping and supporting Harrow with the funding that the council needs to do what it needs to do so that it can support our high streets. But also, as a visible MP, I want to do everything in my power to encourage the investment that Harrow does need, particularly for some of the larger stores that we've lost over the years.
Absolutely. And of course, another core part of the future of businesses is the transition to greener and cleaner economic methods and ensuring that transport and all those sorts of things are on the path towards net zero. What do you think that if you were to become the Member of Parliament, you would want to do in terms of supporting the transition to a greener economy? Are there particular things that you think can help make the carbon contribution of Harrow be reduced? Are there things that you think that businesses can do to help reduce their carbon emissions? What kind of road plan do you see for making the economy of Harrow greener?
The move to a greener, cleaner economy is so important. And we look at what's happening, you know, to the environment, to the world. I think most of us have a desire to do something in this area for the greater good. And we have to start locally as well. And in Harrow, you know, my style on the green economy is always that this will create jobs, it will create opportunities, let's create the infrastructure that will enable us to really be that green energy superpower that we can be. And that also means infrastructure. You know, we used to build electricity charging points, which we don't have a lot of here in Harare, but we can certainly build on. I think also when you look at some of what's been proposed by the party in relation to insulating our homes, Harare can benefit from that through lower bills, cutting bills, because if you better insulate your home, you've got lower energy use. And you've got more energy security there. So I think the move to net zero within a specified time frame is, and I think the time frame we're looking at is a reasonable one, because we want to protect existing jobs and existing people's working livelihoods. But there are opportunities there in the green economy to create some real jobs for the residents of Harare in the country. So I think there are lots of things we can do locally and nationally to bring this about.
Absolutely. You mentioned earlier that the economy and the rising rates of inflation and interest rates are not just impacting people in terms of their jobs, but also in terms of affordability of housing. So people who are renting, people who are looking to buy for the first time, people who are moving, the state of the economy greatly impacts housing for people across the board. What do you think is the most important thing that can be done locally in Harare East to improve the housing situation for residents? And do you think that in terms of a wider national picture, it's a case of just building more houses?
Yeah, so it's, when you look at housing need, there is, in my view, a need to build sufficient numbers of housing nationally. Now, in Harare, what I think is important is that we have local involvement, and we plan well so that we can build what we need here in Harare, and something that meets the needs of our residents here in Harare. I want to see more council houses, certainly. I think when I was a councillor, during the terms I was a council, we built the first council housing in many years. That was a very important part of what we wanted to do. I also want to protect renters, who quite often are forgotten in this picture. They quite often have their rents increased quite significantly every year, and we need to see what we can do to help there. But I think once again that is a supply issue. Myself, from my personal experience, when I moved to Harare many years ago, I brought and rented a shared ownership property. So I've had that experience of going through that process. I've got my views on whether that's a good or a bad thing, but I think we need to be mindful that we need to look at all the options that we can do, that we have available to us, to meet the needs of people in Harare who need housing. What I don't want is the situation we've had in the past in Harare with us having to house those with a housing need in hotels, or having to move them to the north of the country. I don't think that's an acceptable solution at all. It causes issues with children's education, having to move around, having to live in hotels. So I think it's a pressing need, and what I want to see is a national approach to this as well, because I think it's not just Harare, this affects certainly all of London, probably most of the country, where there is not sufficient housing stock to meet need.
Absolutely. And of course, another issue that people very much aware of, want to get dealt with, solved in some way, is crime. Crime obviously has an impact on people's lives massively. Knife crime has been a big problem across London in the past few years. What do you see as being the most constructive policy for dealing with knife crime? And do you think that to an extent, to properly deal with knife crime and crime more broadly, there needs to be not just more funding into the police service, but also into community support services, into mental health support, into the healthcare service as well, because quite often crime can be linked to problems with healthcare and certainly in some instances people having difficulty and just needing support. Do you think that there needs to be a wider holistic approach to dealing with crime that isn't just focused on policing, despite how obviously important increased funding and better support for the police is?
Yeah, absolutely. The holistic approach is key to this. Now, naturally, the police do need to have funding. We need our police go on the streets to have the resources that they need to fight crime. But the crucial aspect of this, it is linked to education, it is linked to the judicial system and the stresses that the judicial system faces. And you know, you mentioned also mental health services in camps. I found that crucial, certainly in my experience, where a lot of those who are involved in crime and serious crime often do have a mental health need. Also, a lot of it, they need support. So, you know, let's deal with the real situation. And sometimes in these scenarios where we need to support individuals to get the help they need. And so, the education aspect is so important as well. How do we stop this happening before it does happen? So, I don't think there are easy answers to this, but I think we need to look at this in a rounder look, as you said, in a holistic way, and look at all the services that feed in and contribute to helping us reduce knife crime.
Absolutely. Now, of course, you will be standing as a Labour candidate at the next election, but this year there are going to be local elections across England and Wales. In terms of the priorities that you think that the Labour Party should be focusing on nationally in the forthcoming local elections, is there something that you would particularly like Labour to be focusing on, a particular policy that you think should be promoted in the local elections that you think might help get people to vote Labour, something that you think could be a good selling point as to why people should vote for Labour council candidates and get more Labour councillors and Labour councils elected?
I think for me it's a little difficult because London doesn't have any local council. We have all our elections, and unfortunately Labour didn't win in Harrow last year. But I think for the rest of the country, I think there are so many reasons I would want to be. I will be out on the smaller steps outside of London, convincing voters to vote for Labour. And you know, my main arguments are that we are a party that is competent and ready for government at a national stage and at a local level. I would encourage residents to look to the record that their councillors and local Labour councils have in protecting the most vulnerable, in ensuring that we are breaking down barriers to opportunity and helping people progress to where they need to be. And just look at what Labour does, all the good that Labour does do at local level, and use that really to convince individuals to support us going forward.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for taking the time to speak to me, Pramesh. It's been great to chat to you. But I do have one final question for you. Sure. As I mentioned, you will, of course, be a Labour candidate at the next election, and you will obviously be standing on Labour's manifesto. But if you could peer into the future and have a look at that manifesto, what three policies that you are personally passionate about would you most like to be included in that next Labour manifesto?
Did you say one or three, sorry?
Three.
So for me, I think the work around the NHS and the National Care Service is my number one, as you would expect me to say. We think that is crucial. To me, the second part is working and contributing to making Britain that clean energy superpower and working towards that zero carbon target and supporting our country to get to that point. And third, for me, I think it's how we ensure that everyone in our country, you know, every young person, every child, has the opportunity they need to progress. So breaking down all those barriers is one of the five visions, I think, that Labour have proposed, which is breaking down those barriers to opportunity so that people, young people, have what they need to progress in life.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for coming on the podcast, Pramesh. If people want to find out more about you and about your campaign, where should they go to find out more about you and more about the work you're going to be doing in Harrow East and generally?
Yeah, thank you. So your best bet at the moment is my website, just PrameshPatel.com, but I'm also on Twitter at Pramesh Patel.
Fantastic. Thank you once again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you've enjoyed it, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Podbeam, and Amazon Music. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Debated Podcast, like us on Facebook, Debated Podcast, and if you'd like to get in touch with us, whether about appearing on an episode of the podcast, or commenting on an episode that you've listened to, you can do so at thedebatedpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you listen to the next one.